This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Frostbite and hypothermia, major concerns in weather like this. Temperatures are in the teens or single digits across the north. In some cases, readings below zero with incredibly low wind chills.
It looks cold through the weekend and even into early next week, still looks below normal.
National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chouinard.
If you are outdoors, make sure you're dressed in layers and that the skin is covered, because it won't take long to start getting frostbite in temperatures this cold.
And snowbound Erie, Pennsylvania could get some more snow heading into the weekend. President Trump eager for more legislative achievements before Washington's focus shifts in the midterm elections, plans to open the new year by meeting with Republican congressional leaders at Camp David to map out the 2018 legislative agenda. That meeting is planned for the first weekend in January. The election is over, but not the controversy in Alabama.
Alabama's canvassing board meets today to officially declare Democrat Doug Jones the winner of that state's December 12th U.S. Senate race over Republican Roy Moore. But Moore has filed a last-minute lawsuit trying to stop it, arguing for a fraud investigation and even a new election. But Alabama's Secretary of State says he's found no evidence of voter fraud. Meanwhile, Jones, who beat Moore by about 20,000 votes, is scheduled to be sworn in as that state's next U.S. Senator on Capitol Hill Wednesday. Matt Small, Washington.
14 boys in Toledo, Ohio, pleading not guilty to murder charges on the death of a Michigan man killed in a car on an interstate when a sandbag was tossed from an overpass. Judge has ordered the suspects to remain jailed. As that case proceeds, boys range in age from 13 to 15. Stock futures higher on Wall Street. Dow futures up 40 points. NASDAQ futures 18 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender involves so much more than just a rate. Only Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards. No other lender comes close to that level of client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage. It gives our clients a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online in minutes. No one else has anything like it. And our people, each one of our 17,000-plus team members throughout Detroit, Cleveland, and Phoenix, provides absolute client satisfaction each and every day. So why would you go anywhere else to get your mortgage? Go to America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A court in Myanmar has dropped additional charges against two foreign journalists arrested in October for allegedly flying a drone over parliament.
Lahon Meng, a Singaporean, and Mok Choy Len, a Malaysian, working for the Turkish state broadcaster TRT, will be freed from detention together with a local interpreter and driver after serving a two-month prison sentence for illegally flying a drone. Authorities dropped the serious charges of importing a drone without permission and immigration violations against the foreigners after concluding that the journalists and their staff did not intend to endanger national security. In a separate case, a court extended the detention of two Reuters journalists and set their trial for January on charges of violating state secrets. I'm Zaria Shakili.
China says instead of blaming it for a serious opioid abuse problem, the U.S. should look within, see what's causing the demand for opioids. News and analysis, townhall.com. Couple dozen people spent some cold hours last night stranded off New York.
A ferry carrying more than two dozen people hit a sandbar in the waters off New York City and got stuck for hours. One passenger said they were about 10 minutes into the trip and then just came to a screeching halt, and everybody pretty much went flying. It happened on the city-sponsored, privately run ferry that left the Rockaway Peninsula in Queens with 27 people aboard. Officials say 23 passengers and one crew member were safely removed sometime before 11 p.m. No injuries were reported. I'm Shirley Smith.
Pennsylvania has agreed to return control of Philadelphia's public school system to the city after 16 years of state oversight. Governor Tom Wolf says he'll accept the recommendation of the School Reform Commission to turn control of the district over to a locally appointed school board. More on these stories at Town Hall.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Bill Martinez here, and you're listening to the best of 2017.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop and hear what's that sound. Everybody look what's growing now. Stop and hear what's that sound.
And it's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And if you're so inclined and you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, indifferent, let us know. Hey, get it off your chest. No need to drag it around. You can give it to me straight. I can handle it. I can handle the truth. Okay, so Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Speaking of the truth, we had a real special guest coming up. When you hear the name Zapruder, I know exactly where your mind goes to if you have any recollection whatsoever of the JFK assassination. Well, Alexandra Zapruder joins us. She began her career on the founding staff of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., a graduate of Smith College. She later earned her master's degree in education at Harvard University, author of Salvage Pages, Young Writers' Diaries of the Holocaust, which won the National Jewish Book Award in the Holocaust category. Also served as the guest curator for an exhibition of original diaries at the Holocaust Museum in Houston. Alexandra, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you on. I mean, you know, just your own career and all that you've been able to accomplish and to keep, you know, history alive the way you have has really honored your family. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, about the Zapruder film, of which is part of your familial heritage. This has to be somewhat of an influence and driving force in your whole life, has it not been?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I grew up in a family in which we very rarely talked about the film. And, of course, mm-hmm. I knew from an early age, you know, I knew that our name was well known and I knew why. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I really understood the significance of the film and its importance in American life until I grew up and until I decided to write this book about it. And so the book that I wrote first about the Holocaust was really driven by, you know, a deep love of history and curiosity about the past. And it may be that in some way that came about through our connection to the film, but not in any way that I, you know, that is very specific or that I could really identify, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I want to get into a little bit more of the genesis, and that is your family and your grandfather and this tradition. And I mean, here you are, you're writing about the Holocaust and, you know, you're educated, you're going to colleges and you're in classrooms with other kids, some that believe the Holocaust never happened, that it's all fake news. And here you are, you go head to head with this and realizing that, you know, there's more to this story than just some emotional response that says, oh, this never happened.
Of course. And I was very fortunate to be on the founding staff of the Holocaust Museum, because that was a place where, you know, scholarship and rigorous study and thought was valued very highly. And, of course, what we were all doing was gathering, gathering evidence of this enormous crime. And, of course, unlike the Kennedy assassination, when it comes to deniers of the Holocaust, you know, I almost think that you just can't even take it seriously. There's such an overwhelming amount of evidence and records that the idea of denying the Holocaust is completely nonsensical. Whereas with the Kennedy assassination, you know, reasonable people can disagree within a certain realm of conversation about what did or didn't happen. And then, of course, there are the outliers who are, who cling to conspiracy theories that don't make a lot of sense. But that seems to be the way that our world has evolved more and more with every passing year, it seems.
Well, let's talk about your grandfather. Who was Abraham Zapruder?
He was a Russian immigrant. He came to this country at age 15 in 1920. He came from Imperial Russia, a Jewish family, very much oppressed and persecuted there, and they were extremely poor, very limited means and opportunity. And so he, like millions of other immigrants to this country, came and made a life for himself. He went to night school and taught himself, learned English, went to work in the garment industry on 7th Avenue as a pattern maker, and then ultimately, you know, worked his way up. He married my grandmother, and he eventually, in the early 1940s, they moved to Dallas for a business opportunity. And after, you know, many ups and downs over the years, he really, he managed to reach the middle class. And, you know, it's just a very archetypal story of, you know, a poverty-stricken immigrant without an education who came here and, you know, gradually, you know, found the upward mobility for which America is famous. So that was the story of his early life. He was someone who he loved music. He never had lessons, but he could play almost anything by ear. He particularly loved the piano. And he loved gadgets. He loved cameras and home movies, of course, but also he was sort of known in the family for always kind of, you know, very happily playing with the sprinklers and wiring things around the house. You know,
yes.
He was very good with his hands, and he, his favorite thing to read was Popular Mechanics. You know, he was a really an interesting, a very interesting person with a lot of interests and a lot of curiosities. And, you know, I'm sorry I never knew him. He died when I was a baby, but I've heard wonderful stories about him my whole life.
Yeah, well, I can tell. It still warms your heart, though. You know, you had that direct contact, but yet, you know, so much of his story continues. And, you know, as you talk proudly of his experience as an immigrant and how he pulled himself up and he and your grandmother to accomplish what they have done and how they set the rest of the family in motion. You know, this is a, you know, as you say, kind of a typical immigration story where, you know, people were chased out of their home country and they come here and find America. They assimilate and work hard, and that is a story that is consistent, I have found, with immigrants who have gone on and enjoyed success like your grandfather. So it is very typical.
Absolutely.
In that sense, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think that they were, you know, they believed very deeply in America, they loved America, and they believed in everything that it stood for, and for them, you know, that was synonymous with, you know, a set of progressive values about welcoming the stranger and about, you know, making this country a place where people could come and succeed. And of course, you know, nothing embodied that more than President Kennedy and the idea of, you know, this young president who saw so much promise and potential, who asked so much of Americans. You know, that was how they saw him. And, you know, they were Roosevelt Democrats first, and then they were, you know, Kennedy supporters when the time came. And I think that had everything to do with where, you know, with where he came from and his background.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, welcoming the stranger. What comes to mind is also, you know, the character of Jewish people. It was like, it was within their DNA, you know, as God said, look at, because you were once aliens in a foreign land, you need to be welcoming to people as well. And that seems to transition and carry through the Jewish culture as well. Am I right?
Absolutely, 100%. And that those values were very deeply ingrained in my grandfather and my grandmother and my mother's family too, and all the way down to us and our, you know, children. I think it is very much part of, you know, the Jewish concept of, you know, what is right and what.
We got to take a quick break here, Alexandra.
Okay.
So stay with us. We've got more from Alexandra Zabruder on the other side of the break. Stay with us. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Bill Martinez here, and not so live right now because we're remembering the best interviews of 2017.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
It's always a great day Martinez Live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're talking with Alexandra Zapruder, her brand new book, 26 Seconds, A Personal History of the Zapruder Film. When you hear the name Zapruder, it takes you right there. The cover of her new book captures, I think, one of those, that iconic moment that was part of the 26 seconds taken by her grandfather, Abraham Zapruder. Amazing, Alexandra, that, even on that cover, you see that, and it's like you get all 26 seconds in that one shot, the cover of your book.
Yeah, I mean, I think those images are so iconic now, and mm-hmm. You know, they call to mind so many things. You just need to see that green grass and the black limousine and Jackie and the pink, suit. And it just takes you back to, this turning point in American life. It's remarkable.
Well, you mentioned that your grandfather, Abraham Zapruder, was a tinkerer, but also that, he loved to take pictures. And so what was happening for him? How did he find himself there on that day and that moment with a camera?
He had been taking home movies since the mid-1930s, which is really quite early. He started the first home movies that we have that he took were of my aunt as an infant. And so he was quite a good home movie, amateur photographer. And he mm-hmm. had intended to... His office, where Jennifer Junior's, which was his dress manufacturing company, was located just adjacent to Dealey Plaza. Mm-hmm. So he knew that the president's motorcade was going to pass very nearby his office. So he planned to go down that morning or around midday to try to see if he could get the president and the first lady on film. He had ended up actually leaving his camera home that morning. I guess he changed his mind or he was hesitating, and it was his longtime assistant Lillian Rogers who sent him home, convinced him to go home and get it. Mm-hmm. And he got back in time to go down, and he scouted a couple of different locations. He was looking for the right vantage point. He ended up climbing up on a 4-foot high sort of ledge.
Mm-hmm.
He had vertigo, so he asked his receptionist Marilyn to stand behind him mm-hmm. and to steady him if he got dizzy. He was worried if following the motorcade and looking through the zoom lens that he might get dizzy and fall. And so he got himself in position and waited for the motorcade to come in order to get this moment on film.
So here, here he is, kind of the reluctant photographer, and who was to know what he was about to capture?
Yeah, he later said that he sort of couldn't make sense of what he was seeing as he saw it, even though he was looking through the viewfinder. But of course, when the final shot came, the shot that struck the president in the head,
mm-hmm.
he knew immediately that the president was dead and that there was absolutely mm-hmm. no way that the president could have survived, which put him in a very traumatic position because no one around him knew what had happened. And he said later that he got down off of that ledge and he was screaming. He was completely distraught, saying that the president was dead. And within 15 minutes or so, he was approached by a reporter on Dealey Plaza who asked him, if he had caught what had happened on film. And at that moment, I think he kind of snapped out of his the state that he was in, and he said to this reporter, Harry McCormick, that he needed to speak to the federal authorities. And so that is what set in motion the chain of events for the rest of the day, in which, it took all day, ended up meeting up with Forrest Sorrells, the head of the Secret Service in Dallas, and then eventually taking most of the day to get the film developed and get copies made
mm-hmm.
For the Secret Service. So it was a long and traumatic day for him, but I think it seems to me that his main focus was making sure that he got the film developed and making sure that the federal authorities had access to it.
Yeah, because you don't know until you know, right? I mean, you think you've caught it, but until
right.
Because we're talking the days when, you know, you had to develop the film, and there it is, and, you know, and this is his property, but yet he's working, I mean, he's volunteering, working with the authorities on this, and, gosh, I got to imagine what other dynamics took place in terms of, because there's so much conspiracy about everything that happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what your grandfather must have been subjected to, or was it just a straight up kind of thing where you look at, I think I've got something here, and, that he felt like, go ahead.
Yeah, I think at the time, in the immediate, I think the conspiracies and the, you know, suspicions and some veiled or not so veiled accusations came much later. I think at the time, you know, of course, Dallas was in a state of complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
The Secret Service was, you know, not at all prepared for this to happen. And it was a local, you know, Secret Service outfit. It wasn't the you know, headquarters. So these
right.
were people who, you know, were doing the best they could under the circumstances, but, you know, were completely overloaded with trying to gather evidence and the like. And, of course, Ben Oswald, you know, was arrested for having shot J.D. Tippit later in the day. It's not very long after. So there just was so much going on. I think for my grandfather, I think in that moment, you know, he was cooperating with the federal authorities. I often think that had Forrest Burroughs asked him for the camera with the film in it and simply taken it, he would have, there's no doubt in my mind that he would have simply turned it over. But that's not what happened. They didn't ask for it. They just said, you know, would you give us a copy? So by the end of the day, he went home with the original film and his camera and one copy of it. And he then had to figure out what to do with this because simultaneous to the effort to get the film developed and contending with the federal authorities, the media got wind of this film. And so there was, you know, the beginnings of what would become, you know, an incredibly, overwhelming pressure to sell the film to somebody in the media and make it available to the American people. So he was really caught, I think, in the crosshairs of, you know, so to speak, a number of different pressures that, you know, nothing in his life really could have prepared him for that. Although he was, I think, you know, a man of tremendous character and, you know, steady in his nerves and focused on doing the right thing as best he could. And I think that's what guided him in that immediate aftermath.
I got to imagine, you know, after he develops the film, he makes a copy. And he realizes as much as he could. I mean, he's not an FBI agent. He's a witness to this incredible event, the assassination of the president. And he's got to feel like, wait, I've got something greater than myself in my hands here. What am I to do with this? What kind of responsibility do I have,
absolutely.
Right?
100%. That is absolutely what he struggled with. And, you know, the choices he made in the immediate aftermath were shaped exactly by that question of, you know, of what to do with it. And I certainly am happy to, you know, to tell you about that. I mean, it was a difficult set of decisions for him, a moral dilemma in terms of profiting financially, et cetera. So,
well, we got to go to break, Alexander. We come back. I do want to get your sentiment, your perspective on that, because I can only imagine what he must have been dealing with. And you think about if this would happen in today's environment, different story altogether, without a doubt. 29 minutes after the top of the hour. More from Alexander after this.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Bill Martinez here, and you're listening to the best of 2017.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
And I thank you for believing in me. You've given me your all, and now I'll never be alone.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Back with you, America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. We're talking 26 seconds, a personal history of the Zapruder film with the granddaughter of Abraham Zapruder, the man responsible for capturing those iconic 26 seconds that are emblazoned in our memory. And, you know, the thing is so incredible about this, Alexandra, is that this is beyond generations. This is just crossed over, you know, from one generation to the next. This is how powerful and iconic this 26 seconds is, isn't it?
Yes, and I think it's interesting because I think what ended up happening over the decades as the film, you know, gradually made its way into the public is that it somehow kind of stands in as a sort of collective memory of a traumatic event. So even if you weren't there, you are able to see what happened and the pathos of that moment, you know, this young president and his beautiful wife and, you know, with their future before them and all the promise of the country. And then suddenly within, you know, half of a minute, less even, all of that gets, you know, interrupted by this bullet and so violently brought to an end. And I think it just sort of held on to people's imaginations for all that it represents, not only the moment itself, but also you know, just the idea of American promise and how things, you know, really went off the rails after that happened.
Well, we all want it to be a settled question, even with the release here recently of more documents. You know, President Trump is releasing them, which was by law saying that they were all to be released. Of course, we knew there was going to be redaction involved, and there's still not all of them. But, you know, we say often in the show, in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and it's all over the place. And even with this 26 seconds, this infamous Zapruder film, you know, which was, you know, really a big part of the movie, JFK, and how Kevin Costner, as his role as the lead attorney there, you know, talking about, you know, and the film was a big part of it, right?
Yeah.
A depiction of it.
And I think one of the things that's so interesting about the film is that, you know, it is both a visual record of the assassination, but it doesn't provide a universal consensus on what happened. And so there's sort of this built-in contradiction. You know, you can look at it and look at it and look at it, and people keep seeing different things. And one of the things I thought about a lot in the last weeks when the new documents came out and there were all these questions about, you know, conspiracy theory is that, you know, there comes a point where we have to wonder what question we're really trying to answer. You know, are we really trying to answer the question of what exactly happened to the president, or are we trying to somehow come to terms with how this could have happened and come to terms with this national wound that seems unable to heal? And I think we're so far past the point where, you know, you could take 50 people and they would all look at the Zapruder film and see the same thing. But, you know, really, all you need to see is that, you know, the president was murdered. And, you know, and the country has spent the last, you know, 5 decades reeling from that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I think that it blocks our maturation and our ability to move forward, which is what you're suggesting, because it's like we're stuck in 1963 because of this. And this is the problem with deception and the untruth. The truth does set you free, and we are enslaved by this 26 seconds. Because we don't know the truth. We're not, or even what we do know, you know, some people say, well, you know, the Warren Commission spelled it out. That's it. End of story. But it's not gospel according to, you know, I think general consensus.
Yeah, I think there is so much debate about what actually took place. And as I said, I think, you know, within a certain range, I think reasonable people can disagree about what took place. And then there is a lot of static and a lot of noise on the extremes that, you know, just it makes the conversation impossible. You know, you find yourself, and I certainly experienced this in doing the research on this book, you know, you find yourself batting away, you know, absolutely crazy theories that really don't have any evidence. And it's almost like, what's the point of doing that? You know, what are we really trying to understand? And also at this point, you know, what does it really matter? I mean, the implications of the president's assassination are more than clear. Mm-hmm. And so how will it change anything if we know exactly which bullet, you know, came from? Anyway, I mean, I understand why people believe that knowing whether or not it was a conspiracy is important. I do understand that. But I also think that what you said is right, that, you know, there's a way in which we're stuck in a set of questions that might be preventing us from gaining a deeper understanding.
I think ultimately it's scary for people because you think, could your government be involved in taking out the president of the United States? That's a scary idea. And
that
people are freaked out over it. Right.
That is a scary idea. But you know what's equally scary is that a loser with a $12 rifle can take out a head of state.
Right.
It's all scary.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things about the film is that no matter how you interpret it, it's terrifying that something of that magnitude could happen that suddenly and with no warning, and that there could be so many consequences. You're absolutely right. It's terrifying to think that it was a conspiracy, and it's terrifying to think that it wasn't a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some positive takeaways, as you say, from this, and that is that democracy lived on. even in spite of, as I say, we're stuck. I think we're still stuck in the 60s because of this. And this is why, I mean, for us, you know, our, you know, credo here on the show is to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And experience has taught me over the years, Alexandra, is that when we avoid the truth, it's debilitating. And, you know, 7 out of 10 Americans say we're on the wrong track, and we're kind of lost and probably in a more chaotic sense of being than ever we were in the 60s and through the 70s. And it's because I think we're off the mark. And I believe that if we get reconnected with the truth again, you know, we can handle the truth. You know, we can understand, okay, this is what happened. Let's move on. Whatever traumatic incident has occurred for us, you know, historically speaking. And I think we can grow and positively adjust. But, you know, we just cannot have a government that says, you know, we know better than you do and we're going to protect you. You know, this is a government of, for, by, we the people. I maintain that. And I believe your grandfather did as well. We mentioned, you know, right before we went to break last time, we're coming up to another break here. But, you know, the things that your grandfather had to deal with in turning over the film and, you know, some of the political machinations that were involved with him having something, you know, that was so telling about the assassination. Tell us about that.
Well, the biggest problem for my grandfather was that he was very afraid that the film was going to be exploited or sensationalized. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his big fear. And his big fear was that it was going to bring further harm to the Kennedy family. And yet, at the same time, you know, I think he struggled on a personal moral level because he understood that the film, he understood because of the way that the media was reacting that the film had a financial value. And, you know, he had grown up incredibly poor, very insecure about, you know, financial stability. And suddenly he found himself in something of possession that could potentially bring a measure of financial security to himself and his family. And yet, to sell it for money felt like it was, you know, morally wrong and fraught. And so he really, that was the gist of the struggle, and he tried his best to find a middle ground.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about how he came to that middle ground when we come back. More from Alexandra Zapruder. We're talking 26 Seconds, her new book on Bill Martinez Live.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Bill Martinez here, and not so live right now because we're remembering the best interviews of 2017.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world for freedom and justice. Amen.
Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, but where are the tortillas? You know, that's what we want. You know, it's like, got to have some tortillas, you know, homemade tortillas. 14 minutes, that's a whole other story. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. We're talking with Alexandra Zapruder, her brand new book, 26 Seconds, A Personal History of the Zapruder Film. Alexandra, you know, to be in the position that you're in, not only as a historian, but this is personal. I mean, this is like, you're the family historian here.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking about what you were saying before the break about, you know, nothing, about not having anything, you know, to fear in the truth. And I was thinking, you know, for this book, unlike my first book, you know, whenever you look into your own family history and you, you know, try to understand the motivations and actions of people that you love, mm-hmm. there's a, you know, there's a bit of a rift there. You know, you don't know what you're going to find. And in our family, there was a lot of silence around the film. And I think some of the, you know, questions around profiting financially from the film led to, you know, a feeling that it was best just not to talk about it because it was too difficult and too uncomfortable. And so really what I wanted to do in this book was to, you know, bring these issues to light, not so much to judge my family for what they did, but to try to understand and also to try to understand the other side and to create a record of the film that could be passed on to the next generation so that they would not inherit, you know, this silence or this sense of doubt about, you know, who we are and what we did. And I think that turned out to be an incredibly gratifying aspect of the work for me.
Well, your grandfather really could have, you know, as you said, he was in a bit of a moral dilemma here. You know, thinking, all right, well, I've, you know, grew up poor. I've worked hard all my life. You know, this is my shot at it, you know, secure my family. And, you know, this falls in his lap. This is, in a sense, you know, a blessing from God. He probably thought, you know, here I am. I mean, of all the people, I'm the only one of all the thousands of people that were there that day. and I've captured these iconic 26 seconds, why shouldn't I be able to, draw some personal benefit from that?
Right. Well, I think that he really felt that, I think anybody can understand, mm-hmm. That temptation. I think on the other hand, he said many times, and I believe that he meant it, that he would have given anything to not have been the person who caught that moment on film. And he would have, happily not had the financial, opportunity if it had meant that he could have been freed from the burden and the trauma of having been in that situation. But I think he, did his utmost in that moment to find a balance. He sold the film to Life Magazine, which was an organization that he felt that he could trust. Mm-hmm. He made sure that in the contract with Life Magazine that the copyright to the film would be protected and defended so that it wouldn't get out and be exploited by, unscrupulous people. And he, requested that Life Magazine treat the film always with dignity and good taste, which is an actual clause in the contract, which is such a kind of throwback to a time that is almost hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. And finally, when he was paid this $150,000 for the rights to the film, he gave the first installment of it, which was $25,000, to the widow of J.D. Tippit, who was the police officer that was shot in the movie theater. And so I think he tried to find a way to, do something good with the money that he got and make sure that he was, that the way that Life Magazine handled the film would reflect his values, but also, accepted whatever guilt might come with the money in the hopes that, it might someday help his own family.
Now, did Life Magazine, in your assessment, did they help or hinder the understanding of what happened on that fateful day?
I think that Life Magazine, it's very interesting because Life Magazine was, at the time, their main concern was sort of an editorial one. There was a sense that showing this film to the American people, that it was too violent, it was disrespectful to the memory of the president and to the presidency, and so they kept it from the American people for a long time. And I don't think that they did so. There's no evidence in the records that I looked through that they did so out of any political motivation, mm-hmm. Or any sense that, there either was or wasn't a conspiracy to cover up. I think that they were doing it because they really reflected the cultural norms of the time.
Exactly.
But I do think that an unintended consequence of not having made it available earlier definitely fed the sense on a lot of people's parts that there was something to hide.
Yeah.
This is about unintended consequences, about
exactly.
things that, people did that ended up having results that no one could have anticipated.
And you bring up an important part, and that is the love that the country had for JFK and for Jackie, the family, not knowing all the different story, whatever. It didn't matter. It was
sure.
just the country was in love with his family, the whole idea of Camelot and all that it represented. I mean, it was, they were the king and queen of the United States. And, as you said, whether it was your grandfather or others, it was, can we protect him? And then, of course, unfortunately, you start getting some of the National Enquirer photos, of the president's body and that eked mm-hmm. out. And, and that was hurtful. But I think it also should have been a key, whether it was Life Magazine or others that held and are still holding on to this information about the assassination, is that the people can't handle it. And often I find that the sooner we're able to handle it, the better it is, because then we can move on. But, we are a nation of laws,
right.
And there is due process, right?
Right. Well, that is exactly right. I mean, I think that was very much the attitude on the part of Life Magazine. There was something a little bit paternalistic about their attitude, and it was very much a sign of the time,
mm-hmm.
But then by 1975, Life Magazine returned the film to our family. There was a lot of controversy around it, and there was a lot of aggravation, and they really didn't want to be responsible for it anymore. And so they returned the film to our family, and my father took on the responsibility of making it available to the American people. And he really had to grapple with you know, this set of decisions about, you know, he didn't want to be in the position of being a censor and telling people that they couldn't see it. On the other hand, he didn't want it to be sensationalized or exploited. You know, so he had to, you know, really struggle to find a balance, you know, because Life magazine really hadn't grappled with those issues. They simply didn't make it available. And then when, you know, by the time, you know, you get to the late 1970s and through the 80s, you know, times have changed. And the American public, you know, you cannot make the case anymore that the American public didn't have a right to see this film out of decorum. You know, that ship has sailed.
Exactly.
And well, so I think you're right. You know, now, of course, the film is available to anybody who has, you know, access to a computer and can see it on YouTube. I mean, there are no restrictions anymore, but it was certainly something that happened very gradually over a long period of time.
Well, this had to become a full-time job for your dad. You know, well, Life magazine says, hey, we're done. We don't want to know this. This is back to the Zapruder family. And somebody has to take the lead on this, right?
It was the last thing in the world he wanted to do. You know, he was a tax attorney. He had a lot of interests. He was a great guy. He had three young kids at the time, myself and my two brothers. And, you know, he didn't want to be in the position of, you know, having to manage this and make these decisions and bear the criticism that you know, inevitably came along with it. But I think he lived up to that responsibility, feeling that was what, you know, his father by that time was gone. That was what his mother, my grandmother, felt that, you know, that it should be back with the family. And so, you know, he did the very best he could, but I know that it was something that caused him a lot of pain and, you know, a lot of stress because it just wasn't, it was very uncomfortable. And the memory of the assassination was personally painful for him, and it was painful for him to remember his father in that way. So I think it was very unwelcome, but he certainly did the best he could.
You know, talking about the environment and the media, you address in your book, you know, the dynamic with Dan Rather and his actions regarding the film. We've got about a minute and a half left. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Dan Rather was at the time a hungry, aggressive young reporter, and he did what a lot of hungry, aggressive young reporters did at the time. You know, that story about Dan Rather is almost more interesting for what it reveals about how different Richard Stolle, the reporter from Life magazine, was, because they were all like that. They all wanted to get their hands on the film, you know, and they all wanted to, you know, make their careers, further their careers if they could. You know, Dan Rather has, in the decades since, I think, you know, done many great things, and he's certainly redeemed himself, in my view, in the last few years, you know, by being a voice of reason. But I think it just really, really shows the media climate and the pressure that my grandfather was facing in that moment. You know, a lot of people wanting to get their hands on this film at any price.
Exactly. Well, Alexandra Zapruder has been with us. Her brand new book, 26 Seconds, all about that iconic film and the story behind it. What do you want people to take away from this, Alexandra, after all is said and done?
You know, I think that the story of the film is the story of the second half of the 20th century in America. You know, this is a story about the assassination and the film in one sense. But it's also about some of the really most important issues that we've grappled with around media ethics, around morality, around, you know, what the public has the right to see and know, around, you know, cultural norms changing, technology. I mean,
exactly.
You know, there's so many parts to it. So I hope that if people read the book, they will find much that is of interest in it.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Most people think life is